Stephen, I just have to read your shirt to everybody. Daddy, you are as smart as Iron Man, as strong as Thor, as fast as Flash, and brave as Batman. You are our favorite superhero. Nice. I don't know about the fast one, but everything else I'll go with. Dietrich Bonhoeffer called the Book of Psalms the prayer book of the Bible. It is our collection of prayers, and it is the one book that not only teaches us how to pray, but it dismisses, at least, the comments of critics of Christianity that it's kind of pie in the sky, kind of religious, make-believe, hopeful stuff. You read the Psalms, which Jesus himself prayed during his life. You read raw. You read real life. You read people describing their tears, the pain of their bones, the afflictions of their enemies, their feeling of abandonment from God. And yet you see in it as well them actually talking to God and pointing their own souls and their hearts to put trust in what they've been told, to put their trust in what God has revealed about himself so that they will hold dear to him even in the midst of the storm. And as it unfolds, you get these flashes of brilliance of someone just really, even in the midst of life, enjoying the fact that there is a God that knows them and is with them and is leading them and will never abandon them. And it's just joyous Psalms. So from the depths to the heights and in between, it's just a wonderful place. You all, and me included, should be familiar with those things. When you need prayers, you go to the Psalms. And every year during Mother's Day and Father's Day, we have kind of a topic in which we are doing that for the year, in which we receive testimonies from people describing their faith on a particular item. And this year, it's my life psalm. You know, like my life song or my favorite thing the guys do. This is our life psalm, a psalm that really is important to a particular person. They all should be, but there's ones that just jump out based on circumstances in life. Of course, Whitney and Dixie did a great job on Mother's Day. I was gone. I listened to them overseas. And today we have, again, two more testimonies in that fact. What I asked is, I gave them a topic. I said, give us 7 or 8 minutes to talk about what this means to you. And so our life psalm, we're going to have Dan Adams and then Richard Thompson come up and tell us about their favorite psalm and why. So thank you guys for agreeing to this.
Ship. I guess this is in the ship or on the shore. I'm not sure. But anyway, first of all, you know, I think the saying we say peace, we give peace, we pass the peace on. And I often think of that. It's a very costly peace it was for Jesus. And we have peace through the blood of Christ. And I'm so thankful, first of all, that my Heavenly Father sent his Son so that I could have peace with him. And through his sacrifice on the cross, and that's the only way I can have peace with God, my Father, through Jesus Christ, by his grace and by faith in him. First of all, I want to put my timer here on. Starting now. No. I want to thank my God and Father for never leaving me in 59 years, or forsaking me or my family. The quotation our pastor just gave, Troy. And my wife and my children, Joel, Sherry, and Tom. So I know I wouldn't be a father, I wouldn't be up here if it wasn't for my wife, Carol. She's praying for me now. And so I want to praise the Lord for Carol. gave me the opportunity to be a father to my three great children, of whom I'm very proud of each one, of their life and their life in Christ. First of all, then second of all, I'd like to thank the Lord for giving me a father and three brothers. My father and mother introduced me to the Christian church, the Christian religion, at an early age, and went through school and to high school. And then when I went to college, I left all resemblance of the churches and led a little bit wild life. And then second of all, after 2 years of that, I was in the service, and then I had another father, a spiritual father, who led me to Christ and changed my life's direction. Ron York. But you know, I thought of the Psalms. I was thinking, I was praying a long time because I love the Word of God. There's so much in it. And I kept choosing this psalm and that psalm, and I just couldn't make up my mind. And so I turned to some of the psalms that I use most. And one of them, I had to memorize them because I use them so many times. And since I consider myself a young man, how shall a young man said, how shall a young man cleanse his ways, David said. And then he gave the answer, by taking heed to God's word. And then we skip a verse down to, that was 119:9, and this is 11, we skip 10. Then the next thing he says, your word, O God, have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Then I'll skip over to another psalm. It's David. David's psalm, which we're many of us are familiar with, in Psalm 59, which I also memorized. I memorize these things not to boast, but because I need them, and I use them. And God is true to his word, and when I believe his word, then it becomes life to me. And so Christ assists me, and I don't seek just the word, but Jesus said at one time, he said, he's talking to the Jewish intellectual religion, he said, you seek the scriptures thinking eternal life is in them, and so it is. And there God was right in front of him, standing right in front of him. But you fail to come to me. So I've learned that God wants us to come to him through his word. It's a guide for me to a relationship with Jesus Christ. And so that took me, that realization took me from a religion of Christianity to a relationship with Jesus Christ. And then the Psalms of David, I'll quote that. David said, create. And the first time God created, he created from nothing. And sometimes maybe we feel like nothing, feel like there's no hope. But David said, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Then he said something very humbling. The Lord had said, please don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Please don't leave me. And he said that, make my paths right. And he said, give me a willing spirit. And then he went on, then I can share your salvation with those who have a sin problem, like I have, David said, and like I, Dan Adams, have. So these are the Psalms I use a lot. And this is the Word of God. I take it to be his literal word. And in the word, he says that his words are living and sharper than any two-edged sword. So as I read this word, what happens to me, the Lord shows me my error. And then I go to Him and humbly confess. And then I renew that relationship with Jesus. And so this Jesus is amazingly alive as we trust Him by faith to read His word. It comes alive. That's my testimony. And I have 41 seconds left. Whoops, I guess I don't. Anyway, I'll leave it at that. Thanks.
So I get a little nervous when I'm speaking. So of course I'm following Dan, who has like half the book of Psalms memorized up here, but it's an honor to follow Dan. He is a great man and a dad that I think as a younger dad we all look up to and aspire to be like. So anyway, if it sounds like I'm reading right off the page, that is what it will be, because that's what it is. So, all right. As soon as Troy asked me to speak on my life psalm, I knew for sure it was Psalm 22. The opening line is, my God, why have you forsaken me? The same line Jesus spoke on the cross as he neared the end of his life. In all honesty, it's a little bit of a heavy psalm. And while I read over it, I thought, this is kind of a strange life psalm for you, Rich. That being said, Psalm 22 is the one, and there are really two reasons why. The first reason is my dad. It's an amazing thing how God orchestrates things together. Even in the simple things of life, his hands are all over them. I never planned on doing a tribute to my dad when I initially chose Psalm 22, and the topic Troy gave us, it didn't necessarily lead to speaking on fatherhood. It's only by God's grace and wisdom that he's given me the opportunity to honor my dad on Father's Day. Jeez, this isn't even the tough part of the talk. Okay, so when I was in middle school and started working more with my dad on our family farm, I remember him coming into my room way too early in the morning and telling me it was time to go to work. And pretty often he would have to come in multiple times with the same announcement. Eventually, I would wander out into the dining room, and every morning there was my dad sitting with his Bible open, either reading or praying. And so I would get to sit with him and hear about what God was teaching him. Now, if you know us Thompsons, you've probably heard us tell you the same story multiple times. We don't mean to do this, it's just we can't help ourselves. It just is the way that we are. So we do this even to a greater extent if it is something, if it's something we really think is funny or we're really excited about. So for my dad, this family trait played itself out with Psalm 22, and I'm so thankful that it did. I have no idea how many times I've read Psalm 22 or just talked about it with my dad, but I remember being blown away at how with such great detail David foretold the events of Jesus' crucifixion. It's loaded with prophecy, so here are just a few verses that stand out to me. Psalm 22, verses 7 and 8 say, "All who see me mock me. They hurl insults, shaking their heads. He trusts in the Lord. Let the Lord rescue him." Verse 18 says, "They divide my garments among them and cast lots for my clothing." That one always blows me away. And David prophesies about the nature of Jesus' death when he says, "My heart turns to wax. It is melted within me, and I can count all my bones," referencing Jesus' legs not being broken in the crucifixion and the blood and water spilling from his side when he was pierced by the Roman soldier. Psalm 22:16 says, "They have pierced my hands and my feet." I wonder what it was like for David to write this psalm about 1,000 years before Jesus came to earth. I don't know if he saw a vision and recorded it, or he just started putting words on a page, and this is what came out. Peter says in his letter that prophecy never had its origin in the human will, but prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. There are a few chapters in the Bible, if any, where I see this more clearly. However it happened for David, I do know that in writing Psalm 22, he stepped aside and exalted Christ, which brings me to the second reason I chose it as my life psalm. Psalm 22 does what I hope to do in life, and that is point to Jesus. But that's a very easy thing to say and a harder thing to do. I have to ask myself, what does that look like in real life? And this week I got an answer to my question through one of my lifelong friends, Jesse Chewy Castellanos, and his family. All right. Chewy and I have been friends since first grade. We did everything together, it seemed, except go to church. Chewy wasn't raised in a Christian home, and faith in Christ wasn't something we shared until about 3 years ago. I remember going to meet Chewy at Escalon Golf Course, so thank you, Hagen family. And Corinne told me before I went to meet him, she said, "Don't come home until he accepts the Lord." And I thought, man, I better bring a tent, because this could be a long one. Chewy was, he was a great friend, but he was not walking with God at the time that we had been, all through our lives. But it ended up being a pretty easy mission. We're on the first hole, and we're walking down, and Chewy looks at me, and he says, "Hey, Rich, I just want to let you know, I became a Christian." I was like, whoa. And it was amazing. He became a Christian a few months before, and not only had he accepted Christ, but his whole family came to know the Lord. So it was a really amazing story and such a great moment for me in my own life to see my friend totally transformed by the love of God. But in life, we know that rain falls on the just and the unjust, and lately it has poured on Chewy's family. Just recently, they discovered that their 6-year-old son, Jacob, had tumors on his brain, and this past Thursday, Jesus called him home. During this time of intense sorrow, I've seen Christ exalted in my friend's life like I've never seen it before. On Thursday morning, I tried to call Chewy because it was his birthday, and he didn't answer his phone. It went right to his voicemail message, and on it he said something like, "You've reached Chewy, sorry I couldn't get to the phone," and then he says, "God is good all the time, God is good." And in that moment I thought, wait a second, I'm supposed to be encouraging him, and he's the one who's encouraging me even with a voicemail message. I've never been as humbled or as proud to be a friend of someone, and I hope that by God's grace, I would live a life that points to Jesus like Chewy has. All right. So just like many psalms, Psalm 22 takes a dramatic turn at the end. There's a point where the Christian life is victorious through faith in God. And when I read these final verses, I think about little 6-year-old Jacob Castellanos worshiping the Lord face to face. Psalm 22, verses 30 and 31 say, "Posterity will serve him. Future generations will be told about the Lord. They will proclaim his righteousness to a people yet unborn, for he has done it." Amen.
Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that faith is a very real thing. It is a gift from you. It is not by our strength that we have it. It's not by our will that we exercise it. It is by a power, by a love that overwhelms with such beauty, with such grace, with a comfort and a light that is not our own. We thank you for Dan and Richie's faith, which they trust in you and trust in your word, even in the midst of the dark and troublesome times. And we pray that this word that never returns void, this word that proclaims the love and the grace of God, would continue to be felt, both in the lives that bear witness to it and the words that are spoken, whether that be from a pulpit or in the midst of a coffee shop, whether that be among friends or a large group. May the testimony that says, I am Christ's, and his grace is offered to you, may that conversation unfold in beautiful and powerful ways. And Lord, we give you thanks that you have not forsaken us, but that you have shown us your grace, amazing grace. Guide us now as we seek to follow you, trusting in your word, each and every step of the way. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you please stand?